A godless America is arising. A godless America is arising, and we're rising up in a godless America. And the America that's emerging upon us is a result of apathy and carelessness of God's people, particularly the preachers of this generation. They're getting more honor and respect than they ever had in the history of the world, and they're the sorriest marks that God's ever let breathe. Is living right now, the preachers of our generation, and in particular, American preachers. They're not worth using for shark's bait, to tell you the truth about it. They're fooling God's people. They're perverting the truth. They're traitors to God's people. And as a result of godless Americans arising that don't have confidence in God, a preacher, nor a Christian. Get around and gloat over this little handful of people that goes to church and these old charismatic meetings. And you know what it is? 6% of Americans making all this racket. Well, what's going to happen to the other 94%, ladies and gentlemen? What's going to happen to the 94% that don't even hardly act religious except a little bit on Sunday morning once in a while? All right. Psalm 12:1. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. For the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. Help! Help, Lord! The godly man ceaseth, and the faithful man fails from among the Christians and the church and the society in which we live. Now, let me call your attention to something. You say, we're facing the rise of a godless America. The society we're living in that's emerging and taking a dying grip upon the society, all the affairs, they're running the schools, they're running the military, they're running the marketplaces, they're running our government, and they're running the churches of America. They're running the churches of America. See? The ungodly. And it's either being godly or ungodly. If you're ungodly, you're without God. And America is an ungodly, stinking place to live in. Now, I don't argue the fact we're the best. We have the most liberty, personal liberty. We have more religious freedom than other nations have. But let me tell you something. That religious freedom is not that the point of the dilemma that we're in. It's not the freedom. We have too much freedom when you come to everybody getting out here and living as they please and having personal liberty to commit acts of immorality, immoral acts. They have freedom that you and I do not possess. You try to have the freedom these immoral people have, and you'll find out how much religious freedom you have. You go out and preach on the street corners like they used to preach. You'll start finding out how much freedom you have. You get on the radio and start denouncing the homosexuals and the perverts and the libertines and their libertinism and the sins of debauchery. You'll see how much liberty you have in just a short time. You won't be on TV. You won't be on radio. And they'll keep you from sending your literature in the mails. They're even watching that now. To restrict people from putting condemnation on homosexuals or on many other, the lesbians and all of this mess of live-ins without being married. And criticizing people for their, what is considered a personal liberty. You have yours, you take it, but you shut your mouth. Don't you say nothing about the other side, the other group, the majority that are a bunch of alley cats, if you please, and live worse than alley cats. Help, God. The godly man ceaseth. The ungodly is taken over. All right, listen to that last verse of chapter 12 in verse Psalms, in Psalms 12, verse 8. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. The wicked surround us. The wicked walk all around us. They press us. They push us. They hem us in. They restrict our liberties. The wicked do when the vilest men are exalted. Look on the front of any magazine and see who's being honored. You go to the newsstand, you go to the shopping center, even to the supermarket, and as you look around there beside the cash register, you see a bunch of magazines piled up, and all the fronts are filled with some old prostitute or some old homosexual like Rock Hudson honoring that codger. God have mercy sake. See, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are honored or exalted. And then you see here Liz Taylor, she stands beside the coffin and said, "Please, God, don't let this happen to all of us." It ought to happen to all of us. All of that us. God have mercy sakes in this world. All right, Jesus said our days would be like Noah's day. Was Noah's day a day of godly men? No, it wasn't. Noah's day was a day of godliness. I want everybody to sit down and be still. God have mercy sakes. Oh, spirit of unrest in here. Now sit down and be still. Can't even preach. Jesus said that our day would be like Noah's day. Luke 17 and 26. "And as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all, like it was in Noah's day." Do you want to listen? Are you listening, or you got a dumb spirit a hold of you this morning? Some of you. The Holy Ghost wants to work. The devil's always got an old spirit of distraction or commotion or unrest, at least. They're minor compared with these more violent spirits that the Antichrist is going to bring upon us. We can at least thank God for that. But Jesus said our days would be characterized as the days of Noah, and Noah's generation was a godless generation. It wasn't a godly generation. It wasn't a God-fearing generation. The godly man had ceased out of that generation of Noah. And that society was not just sick, it was absolutely perverted through and through. It was filled with perversion, with moral corruption that had absolutely permeated that society. All right, the Bible said, as it was in the days of Lot, Jesus continued in Luke 17, they did eat. Now this is talking about intemperance. Eating intemperately, not eating. Or drinking in moderation. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now that's the way it was in a lack of moderation. All right, in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded without any temperance or self-control or moderation in it. There was a spirit that was driving people to excessive immoderation or intemperance. There's a spirit that we're caught up in this day, by the way, if you please, as some preachers say. A spirit in which this generation is lacking in self-control. What kind of spirit was that? I believe the prophets of God characterized it better than I could characterize it in Ezekiel 16. In Ezekiel 16, 49 and 50, here's a characterization of that old society or that old civilization that Noah and Lot lived in. "Behold, this was the iniquity." The iniquity. See, Jesus said in the sermon,